address you this morning. I'm not going to work from the stage. I'm afraid of heights, and I suffer from hydrophobia. Little joke. God bless you today, and may He continue to bless us in every way. And as we enjoy today, may we give all of our thoughts, all of our actions, all of our deeds in praise, glory, and honor of Him. Take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 5 this morning. Ephesians 5, we'll look at verses 15, 16, and 17, talking about the Christian walk. In fact, we need to be talking about the Christian walk more. This is a lesson to strengthen the church, to build up the church, to live in this world without the world living in us. And so as we do that, we understand the blessing of what Paul has to say in Ephesians 5. In fact, the book of Ephesians uses the word walk multiple ways. You can see it throughout the book. Chapter 2, verse 10, there we're to walk in those things that are related to good deeds. Ephesians 2, verse 2, no longer walk in past sins. Ephesians 4, verse 1, walk worthy of our calling. Ephesians 4, verse 17, don't walk like sinners. Ephesians 5, verse 2, walk in love. Walk, 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 walk. That is a symbol of our Christian conduct, our day-to-day living. We need to be strengthened in that daily living so that we can give God the glory and that we can be a great representative in regard to influence and example for the cause for which Christ died. So what can we learn from Ephesians 5, 15 through 17 to aid us and to build us up in our Christian walk? Notice as we read the text together and then we'll make some comments concerning it. Paul said, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." See, these three passages, that's the end of the walk section. It begins all the way back in chapter 2 and goes through chapter 5 and verse 17. And contained within those scriptures, this is the walk section. He summarizes and brings to a conclusion all that he has said in these three verses. What can we learn? First of all, I want you to notice that as we learn from this, we notice the word circumspectly. You might have a different word in your translation. It's from the word, the Greek word akrabos. Now, the word akrabos is not necessarily that you remember that, but we get our English word acrobat from that. And you know how careful you'd have to be as an acrobat? All the things that they do, cautious, careful, that kind of thing. That's the implication here. Be careful, be exact, be diligent in your walk. Make sure that you're paying attention to where you're going and what you're doing. So that's what it means to walk circumspectly. To make sure that you understand exactly what's involved in this Christian walk. Five things, though, in this text that we can see that will aid us and help us as we're very careful, very watchful, very alert about our Christian walk. Notice, first of all, the phrase there, not as fools, but as wise. Well, the first mark of a good Christian walk is the mark of wisdom. In other words, we must be wise. You know, a fool is the one that is tossed to and fro by every wind, by every tide. But not a Christian, because you see, a Christian is addressing the Christian life in such a way that they're careful and cautious in that kind of thing. A wise person, no doubt, marks out their course, sets their sail, and guides the rudder of their life till they reach the destination. And for a Christian, the destination, no doubt, is heaven. Well, when we build a house, don't we first of all sit down and count the cost and make the plan before we ever begin the project? Well, that's the implication that is emphasized here. Yet, how many Christians live their life in such a way that they don't plan the various days that they live? Their opportunities are viewed unwisely. Where they go, what they do, how they do it, how much they accomplish for the Lord. Maybe not a lot of thought is put into it, and therefore we need to be wise concerning the days the Lord has given us. If we lack wisdom, James says, we need to ask God, because God is the one that gives the wisdom, and He gives it liberally, James 1 in verse number 5. Think about the Old Testament example of Solomon. Solomon, he could have prayed for or asked the Lord for riches, for power, for prestige, but yet what was the thing that Solomon asked from the Lord? 1 Corinthians 3 says he asked for wisdom, which in turn, it brought riches and power and prestige along the way. In your mind, notice in 2 Timothy chapter 3 in verses 14 and 15, you might turn there if you will, 2 Timothy chapter 3, 14 and 15, Paul is addressing Timothy that is in the city of Ephesus, the same letter that we're talking about here in chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. Timothy is in the city of Ephesus, and Paul addresses him, and he says, beginning at verse 14, he says, "Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Now I want you to notice verse number 15. "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." See, in that passage we're told about the importance of Scripture. Scripture is, well, it's holy, but it also affects our salvation. And it affects us in a wise manner. That's what we all should want to be. Whatever Stephen Covey said is at the center of our life will be the source of our security. Whatever is at the center of our life will be the source of our guidance. Whatever is the source of our life will be the source of our power. But whatever is at the center of our life will especially be our wisdom. Wise. Paul says, if you're going to walk carefully through this life as a Christian, make sure you do it by being wise. Wisdom. This kind of thing. There's a second thing, and notice once again in the text, not only does he say that we need to be wise, but number two, we need to redeem the time, or redeeming the time. Folks, the implication there is life is short. And oh, how short life truly, truly is. The King James, New King James, and American Standard Version uses the phrase redeeming the time. The New American Standard Bible says making the most of the time that you have. In other words, buying back these wonderful opportunities and not wasting a single one of them in any way, form, or fashion. Paul is talking about these opportunities that we're giving, making the best of what we're given. Well, you know, imagine if you had a bank account and every morning at that bank account there was $86,400 deposited. Woo! That'd be great, wouldn't it? But now, for that day, $86,400 would be available in that account, but by evening, that account would be zeroed out, and no balance could be carried over to the next day. What would you do that day with $86,400? Well, of course, you'd do the same that I do. You'd check it out, you'd pull it out, you'd withdraw it out, and you'd use it to the best of your ability, wouldn't you? Well, folks, every one of us has a spiritual bank. Because every morning when we wake, we're given 86,400 seconds during that day to use as we see fit. What do we do with those seconds that God gives us, none of them spilling over or rolling over to the next day? We understand that time is short. It's here today and gone tomorrow. The brevity of life is a strong argument for making the best of the opportunities that God gives us. What are some of the opportunities that we as Christians have each and every day that we should utilize to the glory of God? What about compassion? Helping others that are in need. Galatians 6 and verse 10 says, "As you have therefore opportunity, do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith." I promise you this. Helping someone else that is in need will make you feel like the king of the world. Compassion. James 1:27 talks about the widows and the orphans that are in need, and we should assist them. Secondly, what about evangelism? To lead the lost to Jesus. How many Christians are here today? Raise your hand. Well, there's a lot of hands went up. Good. Did you know that at one time in your life, whether a far back or near, someone took an interest in your soul? That they shared with you the gospel of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? They considered your soul the most valuable thing in all the world, so they could not help but share with you the life-saving message of Jesus. Well, the Bible tells us, like 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2, keep it going, folks. Those of us that have been recipients of great care and love in regard to the salvation of our soul, let's do that to someone else and keep it going. What about the element of edification? That is to encourage the suffering. We need to water the plants. The seeds that we have planted in regard to evangelism, we need to water those plants to build them up instead of tear them down. In Romans 14 and verse number 19 and other passages. What about also in regard to influence? To shine as a bright and far-reaching light for others to see that God is the one to receive the glory. Matthew 5 and verse number 16. Question is, what are we doing with our time? Are we using that time for God? You know, and sometimes that our time gets occupied with so many things that in the long run or in the big picture that really, it really doesn't matter. Although we engage in those things, we must not let those things become our God. As in Bible class, I'm going to get a little personal here, okay? What about politics? How much time is that occupying in our existence? Let me tell you this, folks. Come November the 9th, Jesus will still be king. Amen? Amen. But sometimes we let these things just become so ingrained in us that they steal important and valuable time away. Now, I'm a sports nut and everything, but I can't let that become my God. Nor can I let recreation or these kind of things. We understand that it's seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That is the valuable use of our time. Have you ever heard the old saying, you're never too old to learn? Well, folks, here is one lesson that we're never too old to learn. Listen to this. Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Psalm 90 and verse number 12. Teach us to number our days so that we can apply our hearts to wisdom. And what does that mean? That passage is the words of Moses. And Moses is saying this. Teach us to number our days and to recognize how few they are. Help us to spend our time as we should for the Lord. Someone has observed that life is like a dollar bill. You can spend it any way that you want to, but you can only spend it once. When you spend the money, there is really only one or two ways that you can spend it. We can either waste it or we can invest it. And the same is true of life. Paul says, as you walk through this life as a Christian, make sure that you do it, well, first and foremost, make sure that you do it in wisdom. But then, number two, make sure that you understand that you're redeeming the time that God has given you. Because why? Life is short. Oh, and that's the poem, isn't it? Life is short. Death is sure. Sin is the cause. Christ is the cure. Thirdly, I want you to notice here in this passage, in verse number 16, Paul has this to say, as we live the Christian life and we're striving to do the will of God, what are we to do? He said, because the days are evil. Motivation within itself to live like Christ. The days are evil. That no doubt is a powerful motivator for us to be wise and to make the most of the time that the Lord has given us. Why? Because the days are evil. The verb here, are evil, is in the present tense, which means not some days are good and some days are evil. But you see, the folks, the days in which Paul lived and we lived, they're continually evil. You look around, and we don't have to be told this. Even go back to the time of Noah. But in Genesis 6, verses 5 and 6, there God said, He saw the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thought of man was on his heart was evil continually. We live in a world that has gone bad. The shining light in this world is the church. Christ and His people. That's the beacon of life that is to be shined from sea to shining sea, from all around this globe, so that people can see that God is to receive the glory and Christ is to be the focus of our life and our attention. Well, it could be that there is anarchy in the world, there is apostasy in the church, or even apathy in individual Christians, and that could be the case. Could be like Peter, people are like King Agrippa in Acts 26, verse 28. Paul preached to him the gospel, and Agrippa said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Almost. Almost. And yet we can't be people of almost. We have to be people of all together. It's all or none. And why is that, folks? The days are evil. Remember in Numbers 21, boy, now that's a scene, isn't it? Numbers 21, the Israelites had become so corrupt and complaining about the terrible conditions that they had, that God sent fiery serpents among the people, and the people, the Israelites that were bitten, those Israelites died. There was a remedy, though. God told Moses to fashion a serpent out of brass and to put it at the edge of the camp. Remember the story? What did the people have to do that were bitten? To go and look at that bronze serpent, and if they had been bitten, then they would be cured. That is, they would live. Don't you know some of the folks that were bitten? And they went and looked at that brazen serpent. Went and told others, Hey, guess what? I was bit and then I looked and now I'm cured. Can't you imagine someone saying, "That's the silliest thing I've ever heard in my life. I'm going to keep on living the way I'm living." And then here comes a snake. Pow! The days are evil. And in an evil time, we have the remedy. Christ is the only hope for our world. And Paul says, make sure that you live like Him because the days are evil. Fourthly, I want you to notice in this passage that he says, therefore, be not unwise. Be not unwise. God has given us a good mind. Truly, God has given us a good mind. And in this, we understand that what Paul is suggesting here is using our mind to discover and do the will of God. Is it true that too many people have the idea that discovering God's will is some mystical experience? That rules out their clear thinking? I've run into a lot of folks just like that. That's not the idea. That idea is wrong, and it's even dangerous. Remember Romans 12, verses 1 and 2? I'm sure that you can quote it. Verse 1 says, I beg you, I beseech you, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God, which is your reasonable service. There he begs them. He begs them to present themselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. He said, that's reasonable. But then in verse number 2, he says this, be not conformed to this world. In other words, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. But then after that, he says this, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Renewing of your mind. So that you may be able to prove the will of God, demonstrate and confirm the will of God. Have your mind renewed. And the renewal there is a renewal that goes on day by day. Let's be clear about it, folks. Here it is. The only way our mind is renewed is through Bible study, the knowledge of God through His Word. That's the renewal process of our mind. Well, preacher, what about application? Okay, that's the fifth point. We're not there yet. We're talking right now about growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you this morning to begin today to study God's Word in a greater fashion than you have been doing in the past. Do you study God's Word? I'm convinced you do. Do more. Spend more time in God's Word than in front of the television and the computer and the cell phone and that kind of thing, which those things are not wrong, but let's not let those things occupy our time. Listen carefully. Joshua 1 verse 8, God told Joshua, "The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may do carefully to do according to all that is written in it, for then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you will have success." Listen carefully. Psalm 1, verse 2. "The blessed man's delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." Listen carefully. 1 Peter 2 and verse 2. "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby." Folks, that's how transformation takes place in the Christian life, spending time with the book instead of any other book. Now, whether it's on your phone or your computer or in a codex, whatever it is, spend time with God's Word. Paul says, "Be not unwise." And then finally, here's the application, verse 17. He says, fifthly, what the will of God is. That is, understand what the will of the Lord is. God's given us a plan for our life. Got to be active in that plan. Remember that Jesus prayed, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," Matthew 6 and verses 9 and following. Paul to the Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 said this, "We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." We're workers. That's the application. Spending time and knowing God and His Word, and then applying that which we learn. All the Bible study in the world will do us no good if we never apply it. Titus 2 and verse 14, listen carefully. "Christ redeemed us from every lawless deed. He purified for Himself His own special people, zealous of good works." A young lady was working as a flight attendant, and she decided to take 2 weeks vacation. So she went to the Rocky Mountains, and there she enjoyed the beautiful sky, the snow-capped mountains, the smell of the trees and the pines. But what captivated her attention the most was a young cattle rancher that lived in a cabin. They spent every day together riding horses and having picnics, and by the end of 2 weeks, guess what? They fell in love. And he popped the question. 2 weeks? He popped the question. But she thought, man, this has been a short time. I need to go back and think about it a little bit. So she got back and got on a plane and was doing what she does as a flight attendant. And in a lull, she went into the restroom and splashed some cold water on her face. And the plane shook, turbulence, and all of a sudden, a sign came on in the bathroom. Okay, it tickled me at least. "Please return to the cabin." Well, she took it as it was telling her something. A farmer, he wanted to be a preacher more than anything, and one day while resting under a tree, he looked up in the sky, and the clouds, they formed what he thought were two letters, P-C. And he said, "Surely that means for me to preach Christ." So he went, and he was the worst preacher you ever heard in your life. One member pulled him aside and said, "Mister, do you think it could have meant plant corn?" Folks, we don't get the Word or the will of God from an airplane. We don't get the will of God from clouds in the sky, do we? Folks, we get the will of God from this book right here. And Paul says, understand what the will of the Lord is. Do you understand what the will of the Lord is today? It's my prayer that you do. Jesus said, John 4:34, He said, my food is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. Luke 22:42, Father, if You will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Your will be done. John 19:30, Jesus said, it is finished. He said that from the cross. In other words, I have paid the debt. I have done God's will. Folks, Jesus practiced perfectly what He preached. He sets for us the prime example to follow. Are you following Jesus today in every way, every day? Folks, nothing is more important in life than to discover and do the will of God. Our eternal salvation depends upon it. How are you walking with the Lord today? Are you walking in wisdom? Are you walking in ignorance? How is your relationship with the Lord and His Word today? Do you love it? Do you read it? Do you live it? It's my prayer that we could also all say, as Paul said, that we are walking circumspectly through life. Let us pray. Most gracious God, to know and love whose will is righteousness, bless our souls with the brightness of Your love, Your grace, and Your mercy, that we may both know Thy will and be enabled to perform it. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation this evening to hear the gospel, believe it with all of your heart, to repent of your sins, confess that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God, to be immersed in baptism, to arise and walk in newness of life, do that today. If you have done that yet fallen astray, that you would come back to God through Jesus today. If you're subject to His invitation, will you come as together we stand and as we sing?